It wasn't all that long ago that my granddaughter Cassie sent out a birth announcement. Most of you know she's carrying twin boys. The point is, why do you suppose people send out birth announcements? Possibly because they want gifts? But I don't think that's the main reason. I think it's so that everybody who has an interest in that soon-to-be-born child can prepare for that special day. God's no different. We're coming up to the day that we choose to celebrate the birth of our Savior Jesus. And with everything going on, it's easy this time of year just to get caught up in the excitement of shopping and parties and family socializing, and we lose focus of what December 25th really stands for. And just like my granddaughter, God sent out a birth announcement for the birth of our Savior. In fact, we're going to look at three, maybe four if you want to count, birth announcements that were sent out in the Bible. The first one, we have to step back in time to about 700 B.C. It's the story of King Ahaz. It's in Isaiah, chapter 7. Ahaz is going to be attacked by the kings of Assyria and the kings of Israel. And these two armies combined are just way stronger than Ahaz's army. And so he's afraid. And the Lord sees this, and the Lord says to the prophet Isaiah, he says, Isaiah, my man, I'm going to paraphrase this. He said, why don't you go have a cup of coffee with King Ahaz? And then while you're over there with him, tell him not to be afraid of these punks that are coming up against him. I'll take care of it. But King Ahaz is a little bit doubtful here. And so Isaiah says, ask the Lord for a sign. You don't believe me. He says, I'm not going to ask the Lord for a sign. And so Isaiah says, the Lord will give you a sign. And the scripture reads, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Isaiah 7:14. And Emmanuel means God with us. The Lord himself shall give you a sign. You, in that verse, is plural. God is not just speaking to Ahaz. He's speaking to all humanity through all history here. All you who are threatened. All you who feel intimidated. All you who are worried or anxious. Emmanuel, the Lord is with you. He will give you a sign. Okay, first birth announcement went out there. So the world at that time now knows the Messiah is going to be born of the Virgin. But where's all this going to happen? So another little announcement goes out from the prophet Micah. And Micah, through God, says, "You, Bethlehem, Ephrata, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting." The mentioning of the phrase Bethlehem Ephrata, it identifies the Messiah coming from David's lineage. Because you, Bethlehem, is masculine form in that Hebrew. And so it's a direct reference to the Messiah from Bethlehem. If it was talking only about the city of Bethlehem, then it would have been feminine, and it's not. So now we know Messiah is coming. Now we also know it's going to be from Bethlehem. So what did the world do? If you read Scripture, they did nothing. And then he just forgot all about it. So what did God do? He sends out another birth announcement. Must be important. And this time we're going to fast forward into the Gospel of Luke. First chapter. There was in the days, I'm reading verse 5, chapter 1, verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. And then we read that it happened to be as he was serving as priest, because he was a priest, in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense for that day. Now, it's important that we live our lives just like Zacharias and Elizabeth. It says they were righteous before God. They walked in the commandments and the ordinances. It says they were blameless, verse 6. Don't think blameless means they were sinless. They weren't. Everyone falls short of the glory of God. Blameless here means they lived a life of integrity, not choosing a sinful lifestyle, but choosing to live one pleasing to God. So God should have blessed them. But as we read, we see the passing of a whole lifetime went by, and they're old. Well, very old. And they had no children. And yet, they still continued serving God day in, day out. Now, maybe our life just hasn't quite turned out the way we had expected. Possibly every single turn in the road ahead of us slaps us with difficulties. There seems to be this constant flood of problems like the ocean wave that just keeps coming and coming and beating on that shoreline nonstop. No matter. We should live our lives like Zacharias and Elizabeth. We should serve God in our daily work, accepting the life that He has blessed us with. And then in His timing, He will send His messenger to us. That's why I started out this morning saying, listen. And it says here with Zacharias in 11, verse 11, he says, the angel of the Lord not only talked to him, appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and he was afraid. I might be afraid if this big angel stood before me right now. But the angel says to him, don't be afraid, Zacharias. Your prayer is heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. Your prayer is heard. See, we listen to hear from God. God hears us when we pray. Maybe by now, Zacharias and Elizabeth have completely given up on praying for a child. It says, in my version, they were stricken with age. That means they're a little bit older than 80 and, or more than 80, because they lived long in those days. Well past the age of childbearing, it says. But God never gave up. I'm going to bring you over to Revelation chapter 5, verse 8, just for one verse. Because we're talking about prayers coming up before God, and He hears them. But yet, maybe they haven't been answered to us yet, as in Zacharias and Elizabeth's case. And Revelation 5, 8 says, when He, Jesus, had taken the scrolls, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and a golden bowl full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Now that you finally got there, I'm finished reading there. That's all right. A golden bowl with the prayers of the saints in it. And you know, saints in Scripture refers to anyone who has accepted Christ. So this saints refers to you and it refers to me. So if all our prayers are stored in heaven, as this scripture indicates, in a golden bowl, maybe your bowl of prayers concerning any person you're praying for, any need, any situation that you need resolved, that bowl is almost full. And like a bowl of water, when it gets full, it gets above the bowl, and all of a sudden it just overflows. And your prayers overflow as blessings pouring out on your behalf. Do not give up on praying. Because I believe God will answer your prayers. It will be in His timing. So I have to know, because God is all loving, all good, all knowing, and He doesn't make mistakes, then the timing for him answering my prayer is perfect. But Zacharias had some doubt, as we see in the scripture. And he looks at the angel and he says, "How? I'm an old man," he says. "My wife? Well advanced in years." I'm glad she wasn't standing beside him. And look what the angel says. The angel looks at him and says, "I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And I was sent to speak to you and to bring you these glad tidings. But behold, because you don't believe, you're going to be mute and you're not going to be able to speak until the day these things all take place. Because you did not believe my words." Wow. Gabriel is preaching the gospel to him here. The good news. That's what good tidings means. That's what we have to do. We saw back in Peter that the wife to an unbelieving husband is to speak the good news. But then if he continues to reject, then you preach the good news in your living, your lifestyle, your dress, the way you treat that other person. And they see that. That's got to be coming from God. And 24, verse 24 says that after Elizabeth conceived, that she hid herself for 5 months. You see, it had been 400 years since God spoke to his people. Again, why I said, listen. See, God spoke to the people and they expected to hear from God. They expected to see an angel. It was, you could say it was common. Peter gets released from prison and the girl says, "Oh, that's his angel." I don't think I'd react that way. Now, she went to seclusion, not because she was ashamed of being pregnant in her old age. She was ecstatic about being pregnant. The Lord has now blessed her. So she went away to spend time alone with the Lord, meditating on the destiny of this child that's within her now, and thanking the Lord. Again, we get a lesson for ourselves here. It is always good, after we receive a blessing from God, spend some quiet time with him and talk to him and give him thanks and think about what is his will in my life now. He blessed me with this. What does he want me to do? But what if God's announcement to you sends a shockwave through you? What happens when it comes at a most inconvenient time? What then? We're going to see that in the next birth announcement. Luke. Back to Luke. Jump down to verse 26. Luke 1:26. In the sixth month, this is of Elizabeth being pregnant, angel Gabriel sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Sent to a virgin, betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin name was Mary. And having come in, the angel says to her, "Rejoice highly, favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among them." But when she saw him, just like Zechariah, she was troubled at his saying and considered, "What manner of greeting is this?" the angel says to her, don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Three things Gabriel said to Mary. She is favored, highly favored. The Lord is with her. She is blessed. Isn't that what the name of Emmanuel means? The Lord is with you. And that's what he says to Mary. And she is highly blessed, highly favored. Out of everyone, the Lord picked her to bring forth his son as the Savior. Now, all these things were true of Mary. All these things are true of you guys too. Everyone that has accepted Christ, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you. You are blessed. But Mary's a virgin. And so she asks the angel, how can this happen? I've never been with a man. Now, there's a big difference between the way Zacharias asked his question and the way Mary asked her question. Because Zacharias was questioning the word of the Lord, where Mary is just, how can this come about? I haven't been with a man. It's not possible for me to get pregnant. She believed the word of the Lord, but she didn't understand. How was he going to do this? And so the angel tells her, he says in verse 35, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. And he says, Elizabeth, your relative, is also conceived in her old age, a son. In her sixth month, for a person who was called barren. So he's pointing these things out. She's wondering, she's a virgin, how can she get pregnant? And he's telling her, your relative Elizabeth, old and barren, she's pregnant. In fact, she's 6 months along. Because with God, nothing is impossible, he says in verse 37. And Mary says, yes. She says, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. Now, it's most likely Mary was 16 years old. She might have been a little younger. That's when they married in those days. It doesn't matter. The Lord can use anybody. He's using Elizabeth, who can't have children. He's using Mary, who has never been intimate with a guy, and she's becoming pregnant. He can use you. He can use me if he wants to. We see here a young teenage girl in a depressed village, and she becomes the mother of our Savior. Ever since Isaiah said the virgin will conceive, all the young virgin girls, it was their dream that the Lord would use them to be the one who which God would send the Messiah into the world. That's why it was so bad to be barren. You had no chance of being that virgin. So we saw three birth announcements. The first one was to the nation of Israel. And their response? Indifference. Basically, they did nothing. Forgot all about it, went on with their lives. The next one was Zacharias. And his reaction was doubting. Doubting the word of God. And that caused him to miss out on a whole bunch of joy because he couldn't talk about his wife's pregnancy. But the third one was received. It was received with belief and submission. Be it unto me according to the way you said it. That's what she said. Listen. What has God been speaking to you about in your life? What has been your response? Do you believe Him? Be patient. It's hard sometimes. We pray for people and we want an immediate fix. But God has a reason for His timing. Jesus tells His disciples in Acts 1:8, He says, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." And then in Luke 11, Jesus tells us, "You have the power of the Holy Spirit if you would only ask." See, Elizabeth was 6 months ahead of Mary. And quite often, someone in the body of Christ is ahead of someone else in their spiritual maturity. And that's normal. Mary went to be with Elizabeth. So find somebody that's a little bit more spiritually advanced in maturity. Hang out with them. Be like Isaiah. Go have a cup of coffee with them. Because verse 37 says, with God nothing shall be impossible. Absolutely nothing. That's God speaking to us if we'd listen. I have a 1901 American Standard Bible at home. And that same verse, verse 37, is translated this way. For no word from God shall be void of power. What a strong translation. Every single word from the mouth of God has power in it. If you will embrace His word, if you will believe His word, if you will submit to His word, Jesus will be conceived in the area of your life that was previously dark and unproductive. And you will have joy and peace that surpasses all understanding. Lord, thank You. We hear You. We believe You. We submit to You, Lord. Let it be according to Your word in our life. And I will wait until the timing is right and perfect for You to answer my prayers. In the meantime, give us courage, give us patience. Give us all Your love that we can share with everyone. And we will wait for the Lord our Savior to be born in us and through us and you get the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. January 5th, I think, is the Sing is here. All church sing. So if you have to juggle some stuff around so that you can make it, beautiful. If you can't make it but you still want to make a dish, please let Perlene know.